welcome to a fascinating holiday edition of Facts Are Meaningless.
We're gonna talk turkey.
Oh, God, I should just fucking hang up on you.
Now, if we were emailing, if we were chatting, this groan would be like in brackets. Groan.
Yes. So, the holidays are upon us.
They are, or they soon will be.
They're coming fast, like a steam train coming down the tracks, and you're tied to them, with your head over one rail and your feet over the other.
Hmm. Going, help me, help me!
Something like that. So, earlier we were discussing one fascinating aspect of the holidays, which is travel. And you started bitching, and I made you stop because I wanted to record it. What is your complaint about the TSA? They're doing fine work, my friend. I don't understand why anyone would be bitching.
I don't want to be in the position of defending the TSA.
You shouldn't, because you, of all people, are like maybe the one person I know who got a little bit of flack from them for your appearance.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you are, let's face it.
From them? Not from them.
Well, I don't know. That was many years ago. It was post-9/11.
This was a week after
a week after 9/11,
so there was no TSA.
Okay. Well, no, this is what I'm thinking of was when we were down, I believe, in 2002. So it was – I don't know if the TSA existed then or not.
What happened then?
We were visiting you, and you got some hassles, I thought, from when you were checking in to go back up to New Jersey.
Really?
Yes, because you had the beard grown and a little bit of a tan going, and you looked more like a Mahmoud than Joseph.
I don't even remember that.
Yes, and I mean, not that I haven't been busting on you for that since the first bombing of the World Trade Center, but I didn't really expect that it would become an actual thing with people with authority, and yet it did.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just, you know, it's one of those things where, okay, I look at that and I think, all right, that's an obviously a profiling thing. Now, any cop will tell you 99% of the time profiling actually works, you know, but
right.
We don't do that because it's very politically incorrect to profile, especially at that stage. Therefore, the TSA has turned to what many people, and especially I, call security theater, which is a bunch of bullshit moves to make people think that they're safe when it's actually doing nothing. The primary example being taking away liquids, because maybe at one point somebody tried to get some chemicals on a plane that would have mixed together to make a bomb. Now, tell me then why it makes sense to take away all the liquids from people and pour all of the liquids into one gigantic garbage can with a liner in it. Because if those are explosive, you have just made a hydrogen bomb in the middle of an airport.
Well, yeah, but from a security point of view, better to have the bomb in the airport than on a plane.
In theory, I don't – you know, it's all bullshit. Because if a bomb goes off in an airport, people are going to freak out. If a bomb goes off outside in the delivery area, you know, drop-off area, people are going to freak out. Anything about airplanes now is going to freak people out. Therefore, they do this theater, which has now led to the ultimate bit of theater, a gigantic fucking X-ray that shows your nards hanging down while you stand there with your hands over your head in the most ridiculous position. It is, and most people are up in arms over it, and it's probably going to cause a huge backlash of travel this year because so many people travel over Thanksgiving. And the head of the TSA even said something today. There was a headline I read said that they're going to rethink some of their screening processes because people don't like this. Now, you, however, were defending it, and I was very surprised by that.
Yeah, I don't want to be in the position of defending the TSA because they are, in fact, mixed security. But I feel like I have to in this particular situation because from the time that this whole fake controversy started a week and a half or whatever ago, I just had the impression that this was a handful of loudmouths that are basically like taking offense to to a procedure that most people don't actually have to be subjected to. And let's face it, if you're going through a security pat down, I mean, they're always reacting to the last thing that happened. So that's not the best way of employing security. But there was a guy that 11 months ago tried to get on a plane. Actually, let me rephrase, who got on a plane with
a bomb in his underwear. Yes.
Right. So it's not like this is completely out of left field. There's a legitimate reason for checking people's person. Now, they've got this machine, you know, the backscatter thing, and, you know, that shows you naked. I mean, it shows you naked like the way – I mean, you look like a specter. It's not like anybody yes. can tell who you are or anything like that. So that's issue number one. But if you're uncomfortable with that, and then you're going to have to be subjected to the pat down. Now, granted, there is no way to do that in a – I mean, you know what I mean? It's like you have to feel somebody's body. So it's inherently a difficult sensitive
All right. So,
thing.
So tell me why 10 years after 9/11, we have never had an actual attack that has succeeded – on a plane in 10 years. Why suddenly now do we have to have backscatter machines? And if we don't go through the backscatter machine, our only option is to get our vaginas and balls felt up by people who didn't do it for the last 10 years and still manage to catch all the problems. Except for the underwear bomber, which was caught by a passenger. But still.
Right. Well, but see, still, it's like that was only a year ago. So to answer your question, my guess is that it's a combination of there wasn't the technology and or the funds for those machines. And this Abdul Muttalib from last Christmas combined with probably other intelligence that they have that we're not privy to makes them think that the possibility of somebody smuggling explosives on their person is a much more of a threat than it would have been 2-5 years ago. So, but we don't know. You
so,
know.
So here, this. Here, so here's, so here, here's, hey, the, wait, here's wait, the thing. Now wait. I'm going to tell you one thing. The shoe bomber makes we all have to take our shoes off. The potential liquid thing means we all had to throw away the bottled water that we bought. So you're saying that because one guy had some stuff in his underpants, now everybody has to see my junk. That's what it boils down to. It's entirely a reactive bullshit move.
Well,
when I've read the article, and I'm sure you've seen the article that says there is a specific few airports in the world that have done a great job of not having terrorism and getting people through quickly. You know where they are?
Israel.
And yeah, you know why they work, apparently? Because they profile the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, but you know what? It's you can't always employ those types of tactics here.
You can't. No, I mean, I agree.
They've got only a couple of airports. They don't have remotely the amount of volume. So it's facile to say you can just, oh, let's do what Israel does. You know, they get frankly, they get people through quickly. I think you have to get to if you want to fly in and out of Israel, you have to be at the airport like 4 hours in advance.
That's true. Well, and that's true at a major airport in this freaking country. But
right. But I think the issue comes down to, you know, security versus convenience. And I can't help but get the impression that this whole don't touch my junk controversy is just people. It's like, you know, if because of this manufactured uproar, they wind up, you know, curtailing this and somebody gets through with a bomb, then they'll be held to pay. And
yes.
It's like you can't have it both ways. You can't have convenience and security. Now, why didn't people get their panties in a bunch when the Patriot Act was doing all this surveillance on, you know, on American citizens all through Bush's presidency? Well, there were all kinds of things that were much more egregious violations of privacy.
I think they
took place up until now. But then now you have to go to an airport and somebody might touch you and they might brush up against your boob. And now it's like now all hell breaks loose and we're going to like protest it. And
well, number one, people did get up in arms over the Patriot Act. But it's one thing to get up in arms.
but everybody got an arm, but nothing changed.
True.
And now if the TSA is going to back down, if they instituted these measures, they obviously had some belief that they were necessary. And if after 9 days of bullshit internet protests, they're going to back off of it, that's the first time that's ever happened, because none of this shit ever was rolled back, you know, since 9/11. So
– but here's the thing. The difference between like the Patriot Act spying is that it's still somewhat an amorphous thing that not everybody knows when it was happening to them. When someone is holding your balls in the palm of their hand and squeezing, that's something that you actually know about.
But you know what? What you don't know is what hurts you. So all of the cloak and dagger shit that they were doing behind the scenes with wiretaps and surveillance and Patriot Act stuff, that's the stuff people should be afraid of. Not the fact that their junk gets brushed in a pat down that statistically they're almost they're not at all likely to actually have to endure. You know what I mean? It's like, this is what happens around here nowadays. It's like you get all up in arms about the bullshit. Mm-hmm. And the important stuff just walks right fucking past you. You know what I mean? It's like,
I don't know.
If the worst thing that happens to you is that, you know, there's nothing. I mean, see, this is all emotion. This is all like modesty and stuff. No TSA people are like copping a feel.
Oh, you know, come on. Some of them are copping a feel.
Okay.
Well, the TSA is not exactly the fucking FBI. We're about having a high school dropout who
they're mixed security.
They're the worst. So that's one problem right there. I've literally seen the TSA make a man get out of a wheelchair who obviously needed to be in the wheelchair to walk through a fucking metal detector. Now they're going to do what? They're going to make him stand up with his arms over his head and his legs spread so they can see his danglies? No, they're going to fucking feel him up in the chair now, apparently.
His twig and berries?
Let's face it, this guy doesn't want to be touched. Nobody necessarily wants to be touched. Some people have a huge, huge problem with being seen. I mean, travel is hard enough. I mean, it just being – getting to the plane and getting on the plane and putting up with the people around you coughing and the bad food and the people telling you to turn off your fucking phone and yelling at you when you know it's not going to crash the plane, nothing about travel works anymore. It's a horrible, horrible experience.
Therefore,
why make it worse with a bunch of bullshit – theater that is not really making you any safer?
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Then why is it that last year around this time, maybe a little sooner, was when all this stuff started where the airlines would nickel and dime you for, like, checking your bag and all the stuff?
They're going out of business.
No. They're not going out. They're very profitable. They're very profitable this year.
This year, because they're all combining, there's going to be two airlines by the end of 2011.
Here's my point. So last year, I agree with you. Air travel is
broken.
Horrendous. There is no question about that. Okay. So where was the organized protest when airlines would charge you for the first bag? Where was the protest when they would charge you for – I mean, all of these things that came up, you know, where was the organized – where was the outrage there?
Again, it's a whole different universe when to hand over $20 or to have someone cup you. I'm telling you. Why can't you understand? You've obviously never had someone else touching your junk that you didn't
want. I've gone through that at the
– Well, then you're one of those guys who likes it, and there's plenty of those. Two, maybe this protest is led by people who want to get felt up. No, I think this protest is actually led by people who travel so much, especially – I mean, those are the things that I've read, you know, columnists who are travel columnists are like, they're flying all the time. They don't want to go through this all the time. It's already hard enough. I mean, my ritual is literally to strip everything off when I go to the airport. When I went to Alaska, I had to take off the shoes. Take off the jacket, take off the belt, put the bag in the bin, take the laptop out of the bag, take everything out of my pockets, make sure that my watch was off, make sure I had no change in my pockets, you know, then go through it all, show them my ticket for the third time, in that line, then redress, and I'm doing all of this in front of a bunch of strangers. That's bad enough. So that I then go through and know that they're also going to be, like, you know, giggling back there about, you know, whatever they're seeing on, you know, the monitors. That's, there's enough humiliation to go around in the fucking airport. We don't need that.
Let me try to put this as succinctly as possible.
Please do.
All of that stuff is like, so you just said that it's the people that are the frequent flyers that are making the biggest stink about it.
To start, because I
agree.
They see it first.
Okay, but guess what? Should we tailor security policy to not convenience the frequent flyers? Is that what this is all about? I mean, by that logic, you know, I should be able to make phone calls in a car because I'm a busy guy and I got fucking people to talk to. So never mind your safety. I need to make a lot of calls. So I should be allowed to do that because, you know, never mind that, like, you only make a call twice a year. I am a busy man. So
I think if a travel writer is saying something is annoying, they're not doing it just because it's annoying to them. They travel. They know what's going to be annoying to other travelers too. I mean,
yeah, but
this is
not, it's
be
not
annoying.
It's not an issue if it's annoying. Of course it's annoying. Like you just said, everything about flying is annoying.
Yeah, but it's annoying and needless because, like I said, 10 years now.
See, I disagree with that.
I think that regular police work, better intelligence in other areas is what breaks almost all of this stuff. Let's face it.
Yeah, but look, that guy got on the plane on the way to Detroit last year, and the only reason that the plane didn't go down in flames is because the passengers –
And that's the other thing is that because of 9/11, every passenger in the world is already preset to profile the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, but that's not an – you can't rely on that to be your line of defense.
We can't rely on any of it, dude. I mean, let's face it. They can put in all the backscatter machines they want. They can cup all the balls and boobs that they want. Somebody someday is going to get on a plane with something. All they need – if you're a fucking diabetic and you need to have your insulin kit on a plane, boom, you've got a needle. That's something that you can fill with air and put into a stewardess's neck and say, I'm going to fucking fill her throat with an air bubble that will kill her instantly unless you fly this plane to Toronto.
Dude, that's oddly specific.
That's because this shit happens. I mean, you really want to think about, you know, the things that can happen. Go find a bunch of writers, a bunch of fiction writers. And they'll tell you all the fucking permutations of crimes and bullshit that can happen. And you think you're going to prepare for all of them?
No.
Because there's
no, you're not.
Another one.
No,
and
you're not.
So, I mean, I've seen lots of things on TV where people were threatened with an air bubble from a syringe. So why can't any terrorist pretend to have that and do that on a plane? And you're going to not let somebody go on with their insulin? Then you'd get your ass sued.
How do we get to talking about people with insulin?
Because I'm saying that a terrorist can pretend to be that just like anybody else. It's a hell of a lot easier to fake that you have diabetes than to get the fake passports and shit that some of these people would need. And hell, they don't even need it because they're usually U.S. citizens who have been co-opted to the cause, and they get known because they get profiled. I'm telling
you. No.
I feel dirty actually, like, defending profiling, because I think it 90% of the time it's scummy. But in this case, it's like, you know, look at the lists of people who can't fly because they're on a list and because they might have the same name as some schmuck, but it's not their fault. And they can't fly anywhere in the United States.
Profiling is utterly pointless because if the machine and the optional pat down serves no other purpose, it puts up a barrier so that people know that there's a high likelihood that anything that's on your person will be detected. The whole profiling issue is a red herring because if you just decide you're going to profile the most likely candidate, whether you do that demographically or Arab males of a certain age, whatever, I promise you, they will have women and little kids and elderly people and people in wheelchairs wired up as quick, you know, really quick. So there's no point in profiling a particular type of person, because all that's going to do, it's like the border, you know, the US-Mexican border, it's like a balloon. Whenever they put the fence up into some section, they just route the traffic to the place where it's, you know, easiest to get through. That's all profiling is. It's all it's going to do is mean that the people that, you know, are going to be trying to get past security aren't going to be the people you're profiling for.
Yeah.
So that's why you need something that's dispassionate. That's why you need a machine. That's why you need pat downs. And it can't be limited to just people that are swarthy. You know what I mean? It's like that's the whole point of it.
I think the machine still just goes a step too far. And I think that what we had with the metal detectors and having to strip down has worked. And I don't see why that technology can't continue to work until they come up with something that is less invasive. Because it boils down to, we barely have any privacy in the United States at all. And you know what? We're lucky that things like Facebook and Twitter exist, because we are raising an entire generation who doesn't give a rat's ass about privacy. Therefore, they're going to go to the fucking airport and be like the cast of Jersey Shore, let it all fucking hang out. Waggle it in front of that x-ray machine. They're going to be thrilled if their fucking junk gets posted on the internet, to be laughed at or not, because it means they're famous and people are paying attention to them, because they don't care about privacy. But there's a few of us old dudes who still might actually, you know, not want that or the cavity search.
Two things. First of all, I actually heard that when they pat you down, there's another guy next to them that are actually Googling you while you – while you do it.
See, while they do that it. Actually makes sense to me.
Yeah. But as far as like getting famous, I think that – I don't remember this guy's name, but this putz who got this whole ball rolling, you know, if you touch my junk, I'm going to have you arrested. That is what this is all about. This yeah. was this guy wanting to get famous, and is this all came from that?
I don't know. Maybe, you know, it could vary. He might have issues that date back to childhood of being touched in a bad place. And
well,
nobody asked him where to show on the doll.
That may be the case, but his hang-up should not be governing.
It's not necessarily a hang-up. That might be like an actual, you know, real live mental problem that could actually prevent a traveler from, you know, doing his job and getting around in life. Because he can't be there. He can't let that happen. Some people have that. It's one thing to be agoraphobic, but to have it brought on by a governmental agency that's basically staffed by high school dropouts, that's just not fucking right.
I think they actually have to get their GED.
Oh, really? Whew. Well, I take it all back. Feel me up.
I would like to know if you can explain to me why, when you opt out of an email subscription, nothing actually happens.
Well, I can tell you why. Because you have probably opted out of what is really a spam, and you just
No. Wait, let me stop you right there. I'm talking about like
a legit
reputable
email. Yeah.
I'm talking about reputable, like, you know,
I completely agree.
And I've you know, first of all, whenever you do that, I hate the games they play where it's like you have to check the box if you want to get out, even though you've already expressed your interest to get out. But they kind of play that game where, you know, that's number one. Number two is I love when it says, oh, you'll be removed within 10 days.
Yes.
Really? We're doing automated email. Everything here is happening at the speed of light, but I'm waiting 10 days. And then, like I said, many occasions in the last week I've tried to unsubscribe from reputable places, magazines and like stores, and days later I'm still getting the same shit.
Yeah, just gamesmanship to keep you around as long as possible without having to do the right thing. It is – I utterly agree with you. When I see that bullcrap about it's going to take 10 days to unsubscribe, really? You can instantly subscribe me somehow.
You know why? You know why? Because they have to take your page out of that folder, and they have to like they have to like mail it to a different place and put it in a different folder.
Yep.
that's why it takes so long.
And these are always newsletters that I didn't actually subscribe to, that I somehow got subscribed to because I was on a list with someone else similar and they sold my name.
Right.
100% right. Of the time. Because I know I can unsubscribe to like the email newsletters I get, say, from Barnes & Noble because I am a member of their store. I know I've unsubscribed from them. They're gone. They were instantly gone because I actually have a relationship with this retailer. But yeah.
Well, kudos to them.
Yes.
Kudos to them because
exactly.
Babies R Us sends me about 68 emails before lunch,
yep.
3 days a week, and I opted out of that. This time last week.
And you're still getting them. I know.
And I'm still getting them. So unless that 10-day thing is like, you know, is that their cooling off period, you know?
That's just bull. I mean, well, to an extent, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt only because they might have already queued up emails to go out at a certain time with an email service. That
days
your name
in advance?
Yes, because we do that at my day job like a few days in advance, like for the holiday, for example. You know, we got newsletters going out over the weekend. Nobody's actually there to do it. You know, it's just flipping a switch on something that's going to be prepared by Wednesday. So that I'll give them. But 10 days, really? There's no 10 days unless you only have like one person running all of your email business for your giant conglomerate.
That's I don't see why. I mean, I could see, you know, it's fine if you prepare, if you have a queue of messages going out. But whenever a message goes out, it should just pull the most recent.
It
you know,
should
pull the current version of the list.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, you're right. Know? Yeah. I mean, ultimately, what it boils down to in this day and age is games and bullcrap. And I won't do business with anybody who does that. And may the word ring out. Let's start some kind of protest movement. Oh, wait, no. It's only the two of us complaining. So why should we get out what we want? There, see, I brought it back around there. See, like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're awesome.
I know. And you tell me, Joseph, what you're thankful for this Thanksgiving season.
Oh, I got to think about that. My
oh, really?
Daughter? I don't want to get all saccharine.
That's sickening, dude. You're holding your daughter in your arms as we're talking, and you have to think about it. I'm going to hold this over you when she.
Because I'm not into that whole, like, you know.
You will be saccharine and like it right
all
now.
Right, fine.
Come on.
But you're going to tell me, too.
I am, totally.
You're not getting off the hook.
I'm totally going to tell you. I'm prepared.
All right.
Ready?
Ready.
Drumroll. Ding.
That's crazy talk.
I don't know what that was.
Right there.
That's not a drum roll at all.
No. That's the international sign of crazy.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So I think you're looking at what you're thankful for, right? She's there. She's healthy. She's actually sleeping. All the time we've talked in the last, what, how old is she? 4 months? Five?
5 months last week.
5 months. I don't think I've ever seen you have her asleep while you were talking to me.
Yeah.
She's crying or staring at you like you're the biggest freak that she's ever known.
Yes. And I am thankful that she's not doing any of those things.
Yep. No, I like the freak thing.
How could she actually stay asleep during all this yammering?
I don't know, man. It's like maybe when we're like at our most emotionally vehement about a topic, that just puts her to sleep. So wait till you're yelling at her when she's a teenager. She's gonna be like, yeah, whatever, Dad. I snuck out the window and, you know, drank.
It's like that movie. It doesn't matter what you say, just how you say it. In our case, it'd be like, it doesn't matter what you say.
That's right. Just yell
just
at her
about
everything. Get in here and watch your favorite TV show right now, goddammit.
Oh, hello.
Oh, look at that. She woke up. She's like, whatever, Dad. All right, so what am I thankful for?
Yes.
I'm thankful that I got rid of some of the crazy in my life this year, have replaced it with some good, and that my two dogs are still alive and kicking ass at age 12. That's what I'm most thankful for. Oh, and that I have not lost my job.
Yeah.
Because that's actually a very good thing to have.
Yes.
In my opinion.
I am also thankful for that, for both of us.
Yes. The things I'm not thankful for, here, let's complain. Things I'm not thankful for, the TSA. No, just kidding.
Email subscription.
Email subscriptions. And yeah, that pretty much covers it. No. And Facebook. I hate the Facebook.
You love the Facebook.
I don't know if I love the Facebook, but I don't despise it like some people do.
Well, you're like the – if you don't love the Facebook, you're the what's that thing where like you're officially non-aligned but you secretly love it? Like the Swiss. Like the Swiss did with the Nazis.
I'm the Swiss thing of – and Facebook – wow, Facebook is the Nazis? Ouch.
Man. No, I'm just throwing an analogy.
You're
going to
call Mark Zuckerberg Hitler. That's terrible.
Facebook is far, far more insidious.
That's true. There's almost, far more Facebook users than there were Nazis.
Yep.
Taking over the world. Hey, well, you know, if Hitler had had social networks, it would have been a whole different thing. If he'd had YouTube, wow. Oh, crazy. All right. Well, hey, I guess we'll call it good on a somewhat short but totally worthwhile holiday episode of Facts Are Meaningless.
Yes.
We hope that everybody has enjoyed listening to our yelling and screaming for Thanksgiving. We hope everybody who traveled on a plane loved, loved, loved the screening process.
Don't forget to tip your screener. Just put a few singles in their belt.
If they hit resistance and you liked it, slip them a 20. You never know. Maybe it's a love connection.
Yeah. Hey, look, where else can you get felt up without having to pay for it?
That guy might have a GED. You could live forever very happily.
He might even have a VD.
That's almost entirely likely. And not to disparage the GED, by the way, but I just hold my ball cuppers to a higher standard. All right. I'm going to let you go. Have a great Thanksgiving, Joseph, and everybody in the world.
To you as well. Yes, also you, world.
You know, except for people who don't have Thanksgiving this week.
Right.
I hope you have to work on Thursday and Friday, you poor bastards.
To all our Canadian listeners, happy Thanksgiving from last month.
Yeah, hope you enjoyed that. I don't know why you even have a Thanksgiving, because you didn't have Christopher Columbus at Plymouth Rock with the Indians at Faneuil Hall. So what the hell? Why do you get a Thanksgiving at all? That's just crazy.
You know what they have to be thankful for?
What's that?
Universal healthcare.
Oh, yeah, but they got a lot more snow. So who really wins?
Yeah.
Who really wins?
It's win-lose. Why are you looking at me like I'm weird?